This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
Dude, I'm good. It feels good to have you smoking a pipe with me on air. Man, I mean, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Is it?
Well, it's funny. You know, normally you're so enthralled and intertwined and enmeshed with the technology of what's happening here while we're doing Country Squire Radio that you don't trust yourself, really, to smoke a pipe while you're doing it. And tonight you're like, you know what? I got my new Spider-Man pipe. Like, we're going to do this.
Well,
like,
so that's,
it's the first time you've smoked a pipe on Country Squire Radio.
Yeah, it'll last for all of about 2 minutes here at the beginning.
Well, you're going to get nervous because you're going to have to fidget with something over there, and then your pipe will die, and then that'll be it. But yeah. you're doing a good job.
Well, full disclosure. Yeah. When I was sitting here waiting for us to go live, I realized that I didn't press the button because I was tamping.
I know, right? No, you were tamping that ash, right? So when you tamp that ash, sometimes you forget to press the button.
It's how it happens.
Yeah.
But in honor of our brand new pipes, these gorgeous custom made corn cob pipes, we had to smoke them on air as kind of a.
Oh, that's right. Thank you to Liz White in Longview, Texas, and her husband Josh for bringing them all the way over. We're really, really thankful for them. I love my Cartman pipe. It brings out my inner Archie Bunker.
Your inner cheesy poofs?
Yeah, and that too. Yeah.
All right, but I am going to have to set mine down so I can kind
of. No, you're doing great. Yeah, on. No, that's good.
All right, so yeah, man, we a lot of great things going on. Of course, Father's Day has come and gone.
It has, yeah. Golly, it was crazy, you know, just slinging a lot of pipes and tobacco for folks. You know, a lot of gifts this time of year, but frankly, as we talk about and kind of chuckle about, you know, folks use a sale as an opportunity to buy something for themselves, right? I mean, at Christmas time, you're a lot of times, you know, pipe guys are buying, you know, most of the stuff for them and not for someone else. So, you know, you're spending so much money, you might as well throw another $100 on there for something that you want, you know? So, anyway, it's been a lot of fun getting geared up for the big move and about to move next door here in a couple weeks, which is terrifying and wonderful. And we're excited and nervous and all the above. So, getting ready for that, which is good. Have a new employee here at the Country Squire.
Yeah,
have a new employee. You know, we're so committed to diversity that you know I was like, what? You know, we need someone really, really different, super different.
Uh-huh.
You know, so when people come in, they can identify with someone just really incredibly different. And so I went out and I found the one other premium tobacco enthusiast in our hamlet of Jackson, Mississippi, the one other person who loves what we love, whose name is also John David.
His name is John David.
And I hired him.
And you hired him.
And so
he's John David the tobacconist.
He's John David.
Not to be confused with John David the tobacconist.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
and so, man, if you call the shop and you ask for John David, there's a really good chance you'll get him. There's a 50% chance it'll be me.
Right.
And welcome to the South, the land of double names and sweet tea and apple pie. And here at the Country Squire, we have Mr. John David Burns, who is now on our staff.
Okay.
We've been affectionately referring to him as JD, and people have been referring to me as John David. And
okay.
So
okay.
There's a, you know, I'll just kind of subtly make that hint to you, Bo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So he's John David and you're JD. I think we all heard that
exactly
loud and
not
clear.
What I said. But no, it's so funny, man. Yeah, it was great. JD, he's a recent retiree from the state. You know, was able to retire kind of young because he got his years kind of in the state real early.
Right,
and so
I
was like, man, I don't want to just sit at home. I want to, you know, do something fun. He's big into cigars and has enjoyed them for a long time. Original Jackson native, been with us a long time, and you know, here in the area, shopped at the Country Squire since the 80s, and man, we're really glad to have him up here. He brings a lot of expertise, particularly in the cigar area, and but knows a fair amount about pipes too. So we're really happy to have JD, and now you can come to the Country Squire to see the John Davids.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great because you know you're
just
Cole.
Amazing.
He's Burns, and you know what happens when you light coal on fire, right?
It burns.
It burns!
Snap.
So bad.
It's terrible.
Man. But yeah, man, I was thinking about how, you know, just a lot of stuff's been going on here, the local community and everything.
No, that's right.
Of course,
yeah.
You know, with Father's Day, and I would imagine Father's Day in many respects is almost kind of like the Black Friday of kind of the pipe world, right? Like, it is such a holiday that is so tied with pipe tobacco. Man, I had a good one. The kiddos, they brought me breakfast in bed. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they took me to go see The Incredibles, the second Incredibles.
Okay.
Which is good. Did you ever see the first one?
Of course not.
Oh man, it's the best Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
No, the first one. I didn't see it. It is probably one of those movies I should. But to be honest, I have no idea what it's about.
Oh, it's the family. They're heroes. You got to see it. It's adorable. It's precious. This new one.
You're handling this really well, by the way. A lot of times I feel shamed when I admit that I haven't seen a movie that you've seen.
Right, right.
But tonight you're handling this like a true, like someone that's being really gracious. You're like, oh man, that's okay. Like, you know, let me tell you about it. And instead, oh man, I can't believe that. Like, he's so worthless. Like, you'll never make a good father and all this stuff. Like, man, not watching movies, it's discouraging, right? Because you're that guy that everyone's like, well, man, how could you sleep at night because you hadn't seen, like, you know, Leprechaun Part 6, you know? I'm just like, man, I appreciate your grace tonight. Yeah. That means the world to
me. Absolutely. I feel like you've been getting some hate lately, man.
I'm just tired of it. Like, you know, I don't like movies.
It's the blockbuster season. No, it's fine. no, but like, that's the thing. In all fairness, the Pixar
Is there a
movies,
Leprechaun Part 6?
You know what? If there is, I haven't seen it. If somebody wants to judge me for that, they're more than welcome to. But no, it's a great movie, and I would strongly encourage people to go.
That's good.
Yeah. It's a good Father's Day movie. All right. Also, we got to let people know that finally, the unboxing video that we promised a couple weeks ago is finally live. We did actually shoot it that night, and then I had to learn iMovie. And so if you want to see the worst, like you know, just very entry-level YouTube vlog-esque video ever, head over to the YouTube channel, the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel. And
this is one of those, like, times where we, you know, It's very apparent that we're podcasters, right? So, you know, right. That we are podcasters. We say that very clearly. We broadcast this on YouTube, but this is a podcast first.
That's right.
Production. And a lot of times when you watch our video content, you're immediately aware of that.
Right.
But we just want to reinforce that. So, you just know, hey, man, our podcast is first class.
Right.
You do such a good job editing and putting it all together, that magic that makes that so sharp and professional.
Polish.
And then there's this other, but we did have fun and we got to open it up. And man, of course, the folks at the Tin Society hooked us up with some really cool swag, and we're happy to open that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It was sweet.
And if you have a box you want us to open, give us some practice. We'll do some other stuff. It'll be fun. Well, hey man, we've got a fun show tonight, but first, of course, we got to give major shout outs to the two new club members. Joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club at the Squire level, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Eric Crowell.
He crows well. Dude, Eric Crowell, joining at the Squire level.
Oh, wait, is it actually Crowell? Because I thought it was Crowell.
It might be
Maybe
Crowell.
I should have mispronounced it as Crowell.
It might be Crowell. I would, when I look at that, I would say Crowell.
Yeah.
But you know, that's probably a Southern, like, laziness.
To be clear, if I ever say your name, if I ever pronounce your name correctly, know that I mean no offense by that. I am actually trying to mispronounce your name. Then joining us also at the Pilgrim level, we got Craig Harrell.
Craig Harrell.
We got Harrell and Crowell.
Craig Harrell and Eric
related.
Crowell.
They could be related.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah, I highly doubt it.
There's literally no indication.
Dude, Craig, thanks for joining me in at the Pilgrim level. That's awesome. You guys are, a really integral part of keeping us on air,
absolutely,
making sure that we're able to do this every week. And, you know, this is a community effort. It's something that we, Beau conceptualized and I begrudgingly came on board with. And then we got this going. And you know, here we are 4 years later and we've got an amazing community, but it can't keep going without y'all's help.
Man.
And so we're really, really incredibly grateful.
So if you'd like to join the club and be part of that process as well, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Join the club, be a patron, goes a long way. And shouts out again to those guys. Eric in particular has got some feedback that's coming in later into the show.
You know, real quick as a note on that, we, you know, our shop is moving a couple doors down. You know, we've talked about this just on and on. But, you know, a lot of our, if you've been a Squire level member for a year, you have a brass plaque with your name on it.
That's right.
In our shop.
Yeah.
Like that's something that you have right now. And you may not even be aware of that. But for folks that have been members of the Squire level, of Country Squire Radio Pipe Club for a year at that level, you've got a brass plaque with your name on it here in our shop. If you ever want to see, like, I want you to email me.
Take a picture of it?
Yeah. I would love to do that. You can email me at, what's my email address? CountrySquire1970 @gmail.com. And if you'll just let me know, like, hey, I'm on there, I'd love to see my plaque. Give me the honor of showing that to you. And we're moving a couple doors down, and we're trying to figure out just the right place to put all those.
The plaques will be in this location. Whatever new stuff comes in, it'll be your
object. Well, this is going to be the Urban Squire.
Right.
We got the Country Squire, and this will be the Urban Squire sells, Kratom.
Yeah.
And Wizenators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they'll have.
And vaporizers.
That'd be awesome. Right. Also, yeah. show at CountrySquireRadio.com also if you can't remember.
Yeah, but let us know. We're so grateful for you guys.
If you, like John David, cannot remember his own email address, then just show at CountrySquireRadio.com.
I'm just lucky I was able to buckle my belt this morning. Right.
We all were, man, because, of course, tonight is a special night. It's a Squire Selects night.
That's exactly right.
All
right.
So for those of you not familiar, we've got a series, an ongoing series since the earliest days of this podcast called Squire Selects. Now, this is where every 8 to 10 episodes or so, we take the opportunity to pair various pipe tobaccos with various beverages, typically beverages, I think almost exclusively beverages. One day, don't worry, that Squire Select Barbecue Edition is coming soon, but fingers crossed, let's hope. But
okay. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
But for now,
the shtick is old. Yeah.
But for now, we do. We are kind of continuing in the tradition that we have for the majority of the time, and that is pairing pipe tobaccos with little brown water, little whiskey. And we got some whiskeys.
We
tonight.
Do. Ain't that something?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. I'm excited tonight. A couple of interesting things that just kind of showed up at the door here at the Country Squire. We are a pipe smoking podcast, and we like to kind of mix it up occasionally by figuring out, okay, well, what are some good nerve pills that can go good with our favorite pipe tobaccos? And so we try to pull some of these out. And tonight, a couple of fun ones. Bo, this is Bellmead Sour Mash Straight Bourbon Whiskey, and interesting product here. Of course, as pipe smokers and as someone like me, if you've listened to the show long enough, or a friend of mine or the show, I'm kind of a sucker for a story. This is not just good whiskey, but it's also this is also just kind of got an interesting story. This is Bellmead Sour Mash Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This is made in Nashville. It's a bourbon, but it's a very high rye content bourbon. And what's fascinating about this is it actually was out of production for over 100 years, and then was brought back. So the story goes, Bellmead Plantation, which was in the mid to late 1800s, was a really famous equestrian institution. So this was a outside of Nashville place where they would breed horses, right? And so just really world renowned for that. It was part of that the stuff you modern day think of about Kentucky horse breeding and horse racing and all that kind of stuff. This was a kind of a vintage part of that was more in the earlier American tradition of horse breeding and all that kind of stuff.
But in Tennessee.
But it was right outside of Nashville. That's right. And so world famous in the 1800s, they wanted to set themselves apart. This plantation, basically, that was well known for their horses. They wanted to set themselves apart and have some luxury products that people from the city and from other parts of the world could they could push this, and it would be recognizable as something that was kind of synonymous with their incredible pedigree, their brand,
prize winning,
all that kind of stuff. And it was really, if you think about marketing in the late you know, 19th century. I mean, it's actually pretty smart, right? You've got, you know, I've got this farm, it makes the best of this, or I've got this breeder, we do the best of this. Man, we're going to come out with some other stuff that's also really high end. Think about Alfred Dunhill. You make these awesome pipes.
Yeah.
Ah, you know, maybe we'll get into handbags and scarves, you know. Well, eventually those took over, but, you know, but that's kind of the idea, right? So, so they came out with some whiskeys. They actually contracted with a group named Greenbrier Distillery to make several whiskeys.
Greenbrier, huh?
They are, and so they were outside of Nashville there, and this whiskey was really, really popular from the late 1800s until about 1909. That's when the state of Tennessee passed the Prohibition Law for their state, and so all, you know, whiskey production just immediately stopped overnight. We know kind of how that went. So so this brand lay dormant for 100 years.
Wow.
Which is fascinating to me. And some kids that actually were of the lineage of the original distiller of this were actually driving around in rural Tennessee, and they saw a historical marker. And they pulled over to take a look at it, and it talked about the Greenbrier Distillery.
Wow.
And it mentioned their family's surname on the historical marker.
So this would have been their great grandparents?
Like, probably great, great, great. I mean, it's going going way back.
Wow, yeah.
And so, I mean, you got to think these are kids that are now probably, what, 30 years old or something. They're, you know, just a little younger than us. And so, they're like, well, we knew that, you know, some of our ancestors had done some, you know, brewing or distilling, but we thought maybe that was just moonshine stuff. Or we didn't know. And then here they are looking at a historical marker. It's got their last name on it. And they're like, well, let's go, you know. So they go into a little town and they're like, well, do y'all know anything about this? And they, you know, recommend they go talk to the town historian and all this stuff, and they start learning. And before you know it, they're like, this is legit. Like, our folks made really good whiskey. They made it for this you know, well-known horse farm, and you know, these are new college kids, and they're like, well, we don't have anything to lose. Like, let's bring this stuff back. You
right,
know,
right.
I mean, you know, let's cash in one of those trust funds or something and make this work. Don't we all wish we had one of those?
That'd be nice.
So anyway, they brought this back. They got the all the original marketing and everything, the logo, you know, everything is all original, and they're able to bring it back, which is really cool. So on the Bellmead, you've got just this really handsome two horses that are over the two barrels, or the five barrels there. It's a small batch, handcrafted, 45.2% alcohol by volume. So it's a 90 proof bourbon, which you know, is not super strong.
No.
Which is good. And
especially when you're doing a live podcast.
Well, you know, right, yeah. But really good stuff, and it's just got kind of the story of it on the back and everything. But anyway, really tasty. I'm gonna pour us a little dram of this, and then see we'll talk about some tasting notes.
Beautiful
here.
Story. I think there's a lesson here, though. Whenever there's a beautiful story, you gotta pour the drink first, and then hear the story.
And then hear the story after. Exactly. Is that, maybe we should do that like for the next time?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Brian tuning in from Grand Rapids knows what I'm talking about. All right. Cheers. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, this is good stuff. Like this, it's really kind of interesting that this just so happened to be, find its way to the Squire, because originally this was what I was going to suggest for this week's Squire Select.
Really?
Picked up a bottle a couple weeks ago, and I have kind of this ritual on Sunday evenings. My wife and I have been watching this season of Westworld, and as part of the ritual, I always pour myself a glass of bourbon. And, like, you know, I try...
Westworld, is that the one where they live on the fort in the water?
It's the one with robot cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is a very, like, bourbon-friendly show. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of feel like you have to be drinking some bourbon while you're watching that show. And so I've been trying to sample some different bourbons, and I actually got a bottle of this to have on Sundays, but I found I was also drinking it not just on Sundays. And then by the time
Squire's gone.
I finished it off last night. So it's just really, really fantastic.
It's good.
Never knew the story. That's fascinating.
It's just kind of cool. It's something different, you know, where they were able to bring it back. I love the symbology on the front of this bottle here. The horse that is on the right, actually, that horse has a name. Both of these horses had a name. They were both very famous in the mid to late 1800s there at the plantation. And they were, the one on the right is named Bonnie Scotland. And that horse is an ancestor.
Bonnie Banks. That's great.
That horse is an ancestor of Seabiscuit, War Admiral.
Wait, hang on. What?
Seabiscuit.
Like the Seabiscuit?
The Seabiscuit, War Admiral, Man of War, Secretariat, and American Pharaoh.
Hang on now.
And four of those horses were Triple Crown winners.
Yeah, no. This is horse. I don't know a lot about horse racing, but I know those names. Like, that's horse royalty. You're telling me they all came from this lineage? Like, from this particular...
Right, no, that's exactly right. From the horse that's on the right, on that logo.
Was this
right
a
there.
Horse that was actually raised on their property, or this is just one
I think it was like just a horse that they were, you know, one of the most famous horses in the world.
So they're
the
kind of aspiring.
Kind of right, okay, exactly. All right, they're like, oh, let's pick out the best and put on there.
Interesting. Okay.
The other horse, and I'll let you'll have to Google this yourself, but the other horse on there had a kind of a name that's not really good for mixed company, but probably would have had a different connotation back in the late 1800s.
Fair enough.
And I'll just let you put all those pieces together or not, or use our friends at Google to figure all that out. But anyway, because of that, they chose to take the names of these two horses off the bottle.
Oh, interesting. They
were going to leave, you know, just Bonnie Scotland on, but they were like, yeah, we'll just take these off. The other horse, it just has kind of a goofy name. We'll just put it like that. So we're going to pretend like the other horse is the Country Squire.
Okay.
Our favorite horse of course, is, you know, that we hear about from time to time running in these races, right?
Yes, of course. Those tuning in for the first time might not realize this, but there is actually
like the best horse in the land.
Kentucky Derby, a horse named Country Squire.
I don't know if it ran in the Kentucky Derby, but I think it didn't run in the Kentucky Derby because it was such a great horse. It was, you know, the Country Squire is such an incredible
horse. Fast tracked him straight to glue.
Well, bypassed
it. Got all the way to the top.
No, I mean, he didn't run in the Derby because he, you know, it's such an amazing horse. He didn't, you know, he wanted the other guys to have a chance to show up.
No, he started from the bottom. Now he's back here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Country Squire. That's the Country Squire Radio.
If your kids don't know what happened to old horses, well, you'll have to have that conversation with them. But anyway, so
great
we've got Belle Meade straight bourbon whiskey sour mash, and it's a high rye content. It's a blend of whiskeys that are 6 to 8 years in age, and you'll have kind of a maple syrup. What I really like about this whiskey is the prominent spice note that I get. So you'll have there's an allspice, just a little bit of cinnamon in there, and all that works together really well. So there's also a plum finish on this, which I just think is fun. And so you know, there's a lot of flavors. They're all super mellow. I wanted to pair this with something that would accentuate those flavors but not overpower them. That's kind of the theme of tonight's pairings. And so we went with, and we're actually both smoking it right now, it's Sutliff Tobacco's Christmas Spice. And I think this is a good pairing. It's a good pairing because it brings out some of the natural sweetness of this this particular whiskey. It accents the spice that's there without overpowering it, and it just adds kind of a fun sweet flavor to it without the two really competing. So
this is perfect.
More than anything, it's just kind of a nice a nice compliment. Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. And so like as you just mentioned, we're both smoking this. Again, carrying on the historic nature of this particular episode, I am smoking the tobacco as I'm tasting the bourbon.
This is the first time you've ever done that.
This is the first time I've ever done it on air, and it's fantastic. I give you credit for your pairings, but my goodness, this is wonderful.
There's a delicious sweetness that goes into this particular bourbon, and I think that the Belle Meade, it's just enough to kind of push it over the top for that that Christmas spice to give it just a little more. I don't know. You just kind of feel like you're almost drinking a confectionery thing, you know, when you're pairing the two together.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the wrong way to say it, but it almost feels kind of like you're eating like a dessert where every single bite is just like very flavorful.
Yeah.
And like filling at the exact same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But don't get me wrong. This isn't like an actual dessert per se. It's just more of that similar feeling. I guess that's how I would say that.
Well, when you get done with that, you're going to have a feeling, that's for sure.
That's good.
Or you won't be able to feel your feelings.
No, it's very good.
Right.
It's very good. All right, so that's Belle Meade.
Belle Meade, and that is from Nashville, Tennessee. really good. Don't you like that stuff? Mm-hmm. Isn't that tasty? Yeah, it's one of those that, like, you know, we find some dogs occasionally on Squire Select to try different whiskeys, but this one's solid. I like it a lot.
Yeah. This might be part of my new regular rotation. And once more with the tobacco, this was Christmas
Spice from Sutliff. Yeah.
Sutliff.
Yep.
Good stuff. Tobacco.
Okay, so coming up next, this was purchased, procured for the shop for a party we had recently. And I think the only reason it was purchased was because it has a really interesting bottle. But it turned out to be pretty good whiskey.
Okay, I was about to say.
But it was one of those things that were like, you know, well, you can't pass up a bottle that looks like that, and it's only like $25, and it says it sounds pretty good, so we might as well try it.
Well, plus it's got the word ton in it. And so that when you got that word in there, it might also grab people's attention.
It says, this is the Sexton Single Malt Irish Whiskey, distilled in copper pots. And it's just a beautiful, really interesting, what is that? It's like a hexagonal bottle. It's got this kind of squat, six-sided bottle that with a kind of a short stubby spout coming out of the top.
Yeah,
there
you can almost imagine like going into like an old school pharmacy or something like that and
the old apothecary
apothecary and see that like way up on the shelf, and it's kind of maybe the bottle you don't want to necessarily grab unless there's like a
you better be real sick
right.
to grab this right. Yeah. Look, it's even got a skeleton on it, you know.
It does. A top hat,
with wearing a top hat. That's right.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
So kind of interesting. It's just beautiful marketing. It's real, almost gothic. You know, it has that kind of gothic look to it. So really, really interesting. Good branding there. But okay, so I don't repeat the mistake of last time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this.
Pour it up,
I'm gonna pour this for my co-host here.
Don't get me wrong. Everybody loves a good barkeeper, like with a bartender with a story.
You like to hear the story while
first
you're
glass.
Drinking.
Thank
yeah.
you. Awesome.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers to you. Okay, gear shift, big time gear shift.
Yeah.
Not a bad gear shift, just a gear shift.
Yeah. So the Sexton, again, this is Irish whiskey. It's a single malt. And single malt whiskeys are not uncommon in Ireland, but it's just one of those things you don't really, at least stateside, I guess, see a lot of them. They're not the most popular ones out there. We think of Jameson and Bushmills and, Tullamore Dew and some of the
big.
Well, but, you know, this is not particularly expensive, what's interesting. I mean, even this right here, we're talking $25-$30 a bottle, here in Mississippi. And so really comparable, but a delicious whiskey, very simple. I think it's kind of simple. It's got just a little bit of the smoke on the back of the palate, which is interesting. It doesn't have an age statement on the bottle, but after research, it appears that this is a four-year-old whiskey, which is not very old. You know, it's not to have something that smooth. That's not a particularly old old whiskey. It's triple distilled in copper pots, which a lot of times means that it's just going to taste really crisp and simple, which it does. The difference here is that they age this in former sherry casks, which I think is kind of interesting.
Oh,
and so you'll have a little bit of that sweetness kind of peeking out there at the end. It's just not, it's pretty subtle. So you're going to have, it reminds me a lot of a scotch, really. You kind of have this, but a very mild scotch.
Yeah, not a peaty scotch.
A very mild scotch, yeah. There's only four primary stills in the country of Ireland, which is funny. In the United States, we have stills, all over the place, and they're expanding just because there's kind of this bourbon craze. And of course, in Scotland, if you can fog up a mirror, you've got a still. you're baptized in the Church of Scotland. Is your still right? This is my Irish accent in Scotland.
That's great.
And so,
offensive.
Right now we've got all our Scottish friends that are gone as well. I think Kilted Piper is actually on here tonight with us.
Not anymore.
Anyway, because there's only a few stills in Ireland, a lot of the different Irish whiskeys that come out, whether they're small batch or names that you've heard of, these are all made in the same exact distilleries and factories. And so if you look closely, if you kind of research this, there's a pretty good chance that this stuff is made by the folks at Bushmills, although I'm not positive about that. But that's if you kind of look at who owns who and who's bottling whose stuff, it looks like the Sexton is made by the folks at Bushmills. So they're probably got some a little crossover there maybe And if you drink Bushmills, you may be able to pick some of that up. I'm not a big Bushmills person, although I really like this.
Okay, so it's distilled in copper, not aged in copper.
That's right.
There was something about the way that you said it, or maybe the way that it's
well, and I may have said it wrong.
No, I don't think you did. But it's just, there's something about it that, like, in my head, I immediately went to, like, how do you age this in copper? That doesn't seem like it would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's aged in a sherry cask.
That makes a lot more
right.
sense.
That's right. So it's warm. You'll have a little caramel. It's buttery. There's a toffee finish, but it's not overwhelming. This is a very light, kind of airy, whiskey. It's not over the top in any kind of, one category. So I felt like pairing. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it's very inoffensive.
Yeah,
in that it's not really making a statement. It's
there's
not
there's no
water,
one...
but it could be. But I got to tell you, like, to be fair, yeah. Part of this is like, you know, you got the
well, you just followed
rye
you just followed it up with the from the Bell Mead, and so it's which really makes a bolder statement.
Ooh, big time.
But you
that's
know,
how we do it in Tennessee
with the hey, that was a good Southern accent.
Thank you. I lived in Tennessee for quite some time, actually.
Oh no, you did. Yeah. Does Memphis count?
It counts. In all fairness, Memphis kind of like Memphis is like Jackson. It's like we're here, but we're not.
I know.
we're Memphis isn't necessarily Tennessee. Jackson's not necessarily Mississippi.
Right.
Austin's not necessarily Texas. It's the same.
Right.
Atlanta's not necessarily Georgia. You
right.
know, we do our own thing.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. Okay.
But I'll still claim it if it means I get good whiskey. I'll yeah. I'll Tennessee.
Well, this is a really good whiskey. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very, very drinkable. Not. It's kind of the mouth, as the lady who hired me, Mrs. Yeah. Reeves, would have said.
Very kind, yeah.
And very forgiving, but there's not a superlative flavor here. There's not a superlative attribute that's like, man, the thing I really love about this whiskey is this, right? And so as I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, well, we need to pair this with something that is robust. That definitely has a superlative like that just to make this more interesting, but that's not going to overwhelm the very delicate flavors of the Sexton.
And so how you worded
it. So the idea is you've got a very delicate whiskey here. It's quite nuanced, but you could easily overpower this with almost any flavor. So we want something that's rich, that is relatively strong, but is going to go well and not overpower with the delicate flavors of the Sexton here. And so what I chose tonight, and I'm particularly proud of this. This is Squadron Leader.
We just recently
from Sam Gawith. Yeah, Squadron Leader. We have talked about it before. Great tobacco. Kind of hard to find nowadays, which is a shame. I don't know why Sam Gawith tobaccos are just kind of difficult to get your hands on. But Squadron Leader, it's very venerated tobacco from Sam Gawith. Square tin. It comes in this kind of ready rubbed. Form that we're all familiar with. A lot of Sam Gawith tobaccos come out of the tin, pretty moist. This one, it's more or less like that, but it's pretty smokable right out of the can. We'll let you take a look, open that and smell it.
It was
that comes out of my personal cellar. It's been that tobacco is probably maybe 3 years old, something like that.
Got a nice little spicy kick to the tin note, but you can definitely tell that it's not gonna It's not going to knock the flavor out of your mouth.
This is a mellow English to me. Yeah. This is you've got bright and dark Virginias that pair really well with Latakia and Turkish tobaccos, some Orientals there. It's a soft, smooth English blend. It's one of those that is medium-bodied. It's decidedly English, but it's certainly not... not something that is gonna kick you over the top as far as one flavor goes. You'll definitely get Latakia. The experienced palate will check out some Turkish tobaccos in there. But this is not a tobacco that is gonna just bomb you, which I thought was a good pairing. It's certainly robust enough though to pair with something like the Sexton to give you just frankly a little more flavor. Just something that is gonna let you appreciate the whiskey that you've gotten here, but then also have something that is gonna leave you with. I think if you drink this whiskey by itself, you're gonna be left a little wanting. Maybe this is a good whiskey, but you might be left a little wanting. And we've had other whiskeys like that on the show, and so so I think maybe this is a good strategy to follow that up with something that is going to give you a little body, you know, not overpower it, but certainly make the experience more interesting.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I might drink the Sexton for the sole purpose of being able to enjoy some Squadron
to
Leader.
Smoke the Squadron Leader, right.
Because that's the thing, man. Like, Sexton, like, I love the branding, love the packaging, love the skeleton and the top hat. I think that's super cool. But yeah, it is really, you know, I mean, no accounting for tastes. Everybody has different things they like or don't like. But I kind of feel like if you're drinking whiskey, why would you drink this?
Yeah,
it's
incredibly mild and sippable.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those, like, you know, if you like, a lot of folks don't like particularly strong flavors.
That's true.
And so, that, you know, this can kind of has that. There's enough smoke.
We call those Midwesterners.
And we just lost everyone from Illinois.
Sorry, Brian.
But you know, that's one of those things. You know, it's some people like you know, tobaccos that and whiskeys that are you know, just very very sippable. It's your folks that smoke straight unflavored Black Cavendish, right? I mean, it's just kind of that they like the experience of smoking or the experience of drinking, but they're not crazy about flavors that just dominate the experience. So anyway, something kind of fun. I thought that was a good pairing, and you know, if you're ever looking for or if you ever do have a whiskey that you're like, man, I like it, it's just kind of missing something, maybe try that yourself. Try some kind of tobacco.
Just do it yourself. What do you think we're here to do it for you? Do it yourself.
Try some kind of tobacco that, you know, you think can really you know, add to the experience without overpowering it so much that you feel like you can't enjoy the original product.
Yeah,
so,
and let us know what you think.
Yeah,
like we're always something to keep in mind. Recommendations.
Yeah.
You know, it is interesting. Whenever you are trying some various beverages, pairing various tobaccos, you want to make sure that, you know, when you're doing this with the best, cleanest type of palate you can. And so with that, what you want to make sure you're doing is drinking some good, pure Ozarka water. Ozarka?
Is there an Ozarka anywhere on this earth?
Drink the water in the bottle that's clear, crisp and clean and always pristine, or whatever the saying used to be. But of course, no, I'm not talking about bottled water. I'm talking about making sure that you get a good quality smoke from the pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's exactly right, man. Of course, you're trying all these delicious new pipe tobaccos and want to check out something that is you know, interesting. Get the pure flavor nuances of that tobacco. Get the equivalent of the fresh, clean glass for your favorite new whiskey.
That's right.
Is of course the brand new Missouri Meerschaum pipe. They're all reasonably priced. Tonight we feature the Fifth Avenue Diplomat corncob pipe. The Diplomat is fun. This actually might be a better pipe for kind of once you figure out that you really like a tobacco, because it does have a generous bowl. This is it's certainly not a MacArthur, but it is it's a large bowl for a Missouri Meerschaum. And the one we feature tonight is the straight stem pipe. It's the Fifth Avenue version. It's got just a, you know, a really almost a half cob, really, in the, you know, very you know, kind of dainty you know, shank that comes out there with the black stem. And so just a really high quality piece. It's one of the probably the more sophisticated looking pieces that the folks at Missouri Meerschaum make in their lineup.
It's almost it's like a MacArthur, but it's manageable.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's something that you know, again, you know, with a MacArthur, you've got a lot of room there, but you're also making quite a statement.
Boom,
this maintains a lot of the room, but you know, you've got something that you you know, can put in a large pocket.
You'll still turn heads with this one. Don't make any mistake on that. And that's a good thing.
No, that's right. That's right.
But hey, if you've got it, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself, tweet it in. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Meerschaum.
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 Meerschaum. Meerschaum.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week comes in from Adam Z.
Yeah.
Adam Z writes in, he says, there was an episode I was listening to in which, if I recall correctly, JD, not your new employee, JD. This is, of course, John
referring
David,
to me
of the Cole family.
Okay.
Said that stems are interchangeable on Nording freehand pipes. Where would I go to buy such extra stems? I just ordered a Nording freehand, and I'm interested in also getting a Churchwarden stem for it. Nording's website doesn't seem to offer the stems.
Interesting. Yeah, if you contact your local tobacconist, they can They can probably get a hold of one for you. So Nording, from the American distributor, which is the Arango company based out of Illinois, they sell stems just separate for their pipes. They're one of the few major pipe brands in the United States that will just sell you a stem for the pipe. Now, you know, Nording stems are peculiar, you know, in most of the freehand Nordings, you know, they look to be interchangeable, and they certainly sell the stem as if they are. But, you know, your mileage may vary, right? There's cases in which maybe the drill hole for the stem, the mortise hole, is going to be smaller than another, and so maybe the stem won't go in as far as you'd like it to, or things of that nature. But on average, that is the idea, that you can swap them in and out. You know, we've even had folks that have taken church warden stems off of Nording and then put it on, you know, like you said, put it on a one of the freehand pipes, and so you've got a church warden stem there. You know, I would just look into that. If you can't find it, give us a call here at the shop. We'll try to track one down for you. But they do market it like that, and I have seen it work a couple times like that in person. And so if you Google them, you know, check out on eBay, you should be able to find one. Any Nording authorized retailer should also be able to order you one of those too. And so, you know, check out your favorite tobacconist, you know, whether it's us or some other brick and mortar or online store. They should be able to get their hands on one of those for you. Yeah.
It's good.
Yep.
Yeah, great question, too.
And also, we have had a lot of folks, you know, if you find a pipe repair guy, you know, someone like Reborn Pipes, good friend of the show, or gosh, the countless other, you know, pipe repair folks that are available in America, they can make you a stem for a Nording, a church warden stem, relatively easily. You know, it's not something that's going to be over the top for them to do. The nice thing about Nording stems is that they're super forgiving, because it's not a flush fit stem. Mm. The stem is kind of it almost like a military mount. It just kind of plugs into the end of the block of wood, you know, and so you don't have to spend a lot of time sanding and lining things upright. All you have to do is make sure that it's a tight fit between the tenon and the mortise hole, and you know, that's, you know, for a experienced, you know, stem maker, that's pretty easy. And so you know, check around. That's something that you can get, if not Nording name brand, you could get that even from an American artisan, which I'm sure would be glad to do that for you. So
all right,
yeah,
right on. Well, thank you for that question, Adam. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in to us, show@countrysquireradio.com. again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. We got some quick fire questions in from, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our favorite lesbian pastor. Father. Our favorite lesbian father.
That is exactly right. Yeah. Of course, it's Father Andrew, man, our dear friend and good brother, man. He, you know, Father Andy, he actually brought me lunch today.
Oh, did he really?
At the shop. He stopped in.
Man,
it was cool. He was like, "Hey, I got some extra time. I know John David doesn't eat a lot. I'm gonna take him some lunch." And so he actually brought me some. It was really nice. But yeah, so we got some quick fire questions from Father Andy today.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
From Father Andy.
Okay.
All right. So here's what Father Andy asks: rice, brown or white?
Brown.
It depends on what context. Like
it's a good question.
Because wouldn't put. I mean, maybe you would, but like, you wouldn't put gumbo over brown rice. You wouldn't put red beans over brown rice. You wouldn't put etouffee over brown rice. Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, if the rice is speaking by itself,
uh-huh,
I'm gonna go with brown rice. But if you're pairing it rice with something, you know, like a gumbo, I mean, gosh, you're gonna want white rice for that. But I guess if the rice is by itself, I'll take brown rice.
Brown rice is healthier, but white rice is just so much more versatile. I think you got sushi as well.
Yeah,
yep. I'm gonna go with white rice.
Okay.
Chicken, fried or baked?
Fried.
Oh, man.
Let's be honest about it. We're in the Deep South. It's fried chicken.
It is fried chicken here.
You ever had the fried chicken from the McDade's on Fortification Street?
No, was it good?
I mean, we will eat that at the Feast of the Lamb one day.
All right, but to be fair, like
it is so good.
Your porch, in which you have like drunkenly like walked from to the grocery store, it's like a block away.
I've never drunkenly walked to the grocery store.
I'm
from
saying
my porch.
If you needed to, that's
but
the
if I needed
that
to.
Is your fried chicken. Okay. So like
I can definitely
at 3
right
a.m. I can imagine that that's some delicious.
They
fried
close
chicken.
Their kitchen counter at like 5. I mean, you know, let's be honest here.
All right. So drunkenly stumbling in at 5 o'clock.
No, right. You know, just another Tuesday, right?
I will say this, though. I'm going to give it to baked chicken, and I will tell you why.
Golly.
No. It's a family thing, because my grandmother, on Christmas, would always bake. She'd always have roast, which was delicious, but then she'd also bake a couple of chickens, and she would stuff those things with, like, rosemary, thyme, lemons. And whenever, to this day, whenever I smell, like, chicken baking, it always takes me back to my grandmother's house. So I'm going to give it to baked chicken. And I feel like I've got a good reason.
Well, that's fine. You know, that's fine.
Whiskey on the rocks or a neat?
I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna surprise you and say on the rocks.
And you judged me.
I
for the chicken.
I used to be a neat guy, and this is in the very.
You're a neat guy.
This is a very thanks. Hey, yeah, thanks. I yeah, think I appreciate that. This is in the very recent. Past, you know, I was a neat guy, right? I mean, it's, you know, if I wanted to try whiskey, I'd drink it without ice. For some reason, over the past like probably 6 months, man, I've been a rocks guy. I don't know. Maybe it's maybe I'm getting old and a little soft. I don't know, but I'm a rocks guy now.
Yeah,
or at least for this season that I'm in. You know, I've also been smoking more aromatic tobaccos.
Hey, really?
I have been. I've been really enjoying them. I've been experimenting with in the kitchen, blending with more aromatic ingredients, doing you know, some stuff with that, some surprising things that I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm actually trying this. But I wonder if something's there. You know, something's there. I'm drinking you know, sweeter beverages. Ice on whiskey, you know, whiskey on ice, more
you got,
aromatic tobacco.
You got a
tobaccos.
Lady at the house 24/7.
Well, I don't know. You know, I know, right? I know. She likes, her taste preferences are more masculine than mine are. You know, we go out and I'm the one that gets a Pinot Grigio and she's like, I want Johnny Walker.
My wife and I are the same way. She'll go red, I'll go white. But I am kind of curious about that. Would you still be enjoying as many aromatics now if it wasn't like literally your job to explore and find different potential flavor pairings?
No, probably not. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like, you know, you kind of stumble upon just as you know, it's a career I've chosen, right? And so you know, I'm always trying new tobaccos and want to do that. But because of that, occasionally you stumble upon something. You're like, man, that's really interesting.
Catch on,
and like,
yeah.
And then you start thinking, well, what can I do with that? Or you know, better yet, for me, I'm always wanting to learn from people that know more than I do. So what has someone else done with that, right? Hmm. What has someone else that's more established done with this or that? And maybe how can I tweak that or you know, move it in a new direction? And so just by virtue of that, you know, you kind of. I don't know. You get exposed to things, and before you know it, you're pouring your, you know, whiskey over ice and pulling out some of your favorite berry flavored tobaccos again. So
interesting.
Yeah, you never know.
Interesting. All right. Well, finally, I'm neat all the way. Although I do have like one of those like ice rock creators. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, those are cool.
Those are pretty cool.
Yep.
Finally, ham and eggs or bacon and eggs?
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs. Yeah. If the choice is ham
five,
or eggs.
5 times out of 5, bacon and eggs.
Yeah, versus bacon and eggs. Ham and eggs is about as close to blasphemy as you could possibly get. So bacon and eggs.
Unless you're Dr. Seuss.
Unless you're Dr. Well, it's green eggs. Well, it's green at that point. There's green eggs and ham. There was no talk of green eggs.
I didn't
eggs.
Say what color it was.
Yeah, this was no talk of green eggs. But great quickfire questions. Of course,
yeah, thanks, Father Andy. That's great.
Father Andy. And quickfire questions brought to us by the good folks at the Tin Society. Now, if you haven't head over to the Tin Society, I'm sorry, tinsociety.com, you absolutely should. It's a great online service that brings you tobaccos to your door every single month. Now, this is a great way to find different tobaccos that you might want to try, that you might want to test, see what's there. And not only that, but, you know, you get that first box, you get a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. And every single month, you also get a little additional goodies along the way. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we very recently did an unboxing video from our box from the Tin Society. And it's always kind of like a fun treat and treasure to find what's going to be in there.
Every new month, you know, you've got this little present that shows up at your door. And for the pipe smoker, it is the best present because you get all these new tobaccos to try. Of course, you're able to try multiple bowls of different tobaccos. And it just gives you an idea of what they are without having to commit to an entire tin. And kind of like what I was talking about also, you know, you get exposed to things that maybe are outside of your wheelhouse, right? And before you know it, they might be your favorite. And so the folks at the Tin Society, they put it together. It's really professionally done. It makes you feel really good when it comes. The presentation is super nice, and we're proud to partner with them to make the show.
Absolutely. And of course, if you use the code SQUIRE when you check out, you get 20% off on your first month's service. So again, that's tinsociety.com. Use the code SQUIRE for 20% off on your first month's service.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some great listener feedback in.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, let's start off with Doug Owen. Of course, Doug, good friend of the show, longtime listener, and man, he's almost becoming a regular contributor. Like
yeah.
His comments, his feedback is always so good, and this one in particular, I found uniquely special.
So this is strong.
Really, really excited about this.
This is strong. You want to read it?
Yeah, please do. Please
yeah,
do.
From our good friend Doug, he says, in 1943, my father was in the South Pacific in the infantry fighting the war, and at some point, General Douglas MacArthur came through to review the troops and happened to stop at my dad.
Dude.
Could you imagine? Dude. Like, I would have to go change my underwear.
Uh-huh.
If Douglas MacArthur stopped at me on the line and started, like, checking to make sure my shirt was pressed and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I'd have to phone it in at that point. He stopped at my dad and asked if he was getting enough to eat. Well, of course, my dad said, yes, sir, as one might expect. But the point of the story is that my father was so impressed with meeting the general that when I was born, he named me Douglas, which is so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
That's really great. Maybe that's why my pipe smoking became a passion of mine. Anyway, as you might imagine, I've done quite a bit of reading on the general, and it turns out that the briar was his favorite pipe, and the cob was usually pulled out and used when he wanted to make a strong visual statement, which, of course, you know, those iconic pictures of him. He kind of knew, you know, MacArthur was, as I'm sure Doug could tell you more than I could, but he knew how to sell it. You know, I mean, he was a personality. He was more of a politician, really, than anything. And so, you know, him having this iconic corncob pipe, making these pictures that are very memorable, he knew exactly what he was doing with that. And so, anyway, he goes on to say, the general, God bless him, was not only a great warrior, but also quite theatrical by nature.
Huh.
And he says, keep puffing. So, yeah. Doug, that's cool, man. I had no idea you're
named after
Douglas MacArthur. That's cool. That's really great.
You know, it is interesting because so much today's lexicon, we talk about like personal branding and that sort of thing. It's a very millennial tribute. But at the same time, like Doug MacArthur, he's like a grandfather of it. He's like an OG.
No, that's right.
In the self-branding department. Man, we also, listener Eric, top of the show, we mentioned, of course, a new Squire member at the International Country Squire Radio Pipe Club. What did Eric have to say?
Eric said, just joined. Y'all put together a great podcast and excited to see your content grow. One quick question. Has the RSS feed for the early episodes 1 through 99, been updated? The current one provided at this website no longer works. Thanks in advance. And that's from Eric.
Yeah, Eric, great question. So I mentioned this a couple episodes back, but you know, back when the site was hacked a couple months ago, you know, that I think I mentioned this. The good news is that most everything is on a new client. However, there are a few things that haven't been moved over to a new hosting client. One of those things is the original Country Squire Radio 100 episode feed. The episodes are secure. They exist in a zip disk, like in a zip file that I am like heavily nervous about, honestly, at the moment, because it's like one of those things that, you know, if anything happens to my laptop, then they're gone.
So, yeah, we need to back that up.
Yeah, we need to back that thing up like as fast as possible. So we're trying to find.
Can't wait for the meme.
So we're trying to find. Oh man. Mike, make that flow a little bit better. trying to find a good a new hosting client for it, and as soon as we get that together, one that makes the most sense, because obviously this is, I'll go ahead and just kind of pull the curtain back, but we're looking at a situation where we've got, you know, 100 episodes. It's going to be pulled by a couple hundred folks. It's not going to be pulled from, you know, a couple thousand folks like the main feed, and so we want to be mindful of where we put that to make sure that it is going to be something that can be special, exclusive for patrons, but at the same time is also not, you know, we're not putting it in like this ultra service that we don't necessarily need. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
So we want something that's going to work and be you know, very functional, but we also don't necessarily need an aircraft carrier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird, Country Squire Radio has always existed in kind of a weird space in the industry.
Yeah, right.
In all industries that it exists in. And so, so from that standpoint, we're just trying to figure out exactly where it needs to go. But all that to say, it is still very top of mind for me. And as soon as it's updated, you and along with all the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club members, past, present, and future, will be made aware of where that new feed is. So
yeah,
it is coming, Eric. Thank you so much for asking.
And, yeah, it kind of gives us an opportunity to let other folks know about that too. So
absolutely.
Hey, real quick, we've got to mention a couple other things too. And our good friend Beardcore, he says his roommate is watching tonight. His name is Brian. So
from Grand Rapids.
So hey Brian.
Mentioned twice now, three times on this episode.
And so we'll just, you know, continue to mention that since I've forgotten. I wanted to read this. This is so cool. Another Eric who's very dear to us and who has been a longtime listener is actually watching tonight.
Stokeby?
Which is cool. It's not Eric Stokeby. Oh. who's probably deceased at this point. But this is Eric Vanderpool. And Eric, just a really kind, gentle brother from Houston, Texas. And has been a longtime friend of the show. He sent us a little gift and wrote us a little note here. And this is a review that he actually put on iTunes. I don't think we've mentioned this before on the show. And so I'm just going to read this real briefly.
Okay.
And then I'll kind of talk about what he's done here. But anyway, he's got, he says, a few tokens of appreciation for everything that we've done for the pipe community. And brother, that's just really kind. You're very, very nice to say that, man. But he says, when I first moved to Houston for work, I found myself feeling a bit lonely for leaving my friends and family behind in Michigan. I began to dive pretty deeply into podcasts, and at some point I thought, I wonder if there's one about pipes. Sure enough, up popped Country Squire Radio. I love podcasts because they often make you feel like you're a part of the conversation rather than just a listener. With Country Squire Radio's active engagement with their audience through social media, you actually will be a part of the conversation. They have made a Michigan transplant in Texas feel right at home in Mississippi every Monday night when I sit down and watch the live show on YouTube. Furthermore, they have encouraged me to get back into the hobby of pipe smoking and join my local pipe club. You know that a podcast is doing something special when you will drive 7 hours one way to listen to a live recording of the podcast just because you have nothing better to do. He came to our 200th show.
Yeah, right on.
That we did. So two friends sitting down talking about things they love. That is Country Squire Radio. And Eric, you're so kind, man. Just real briefly, Eric sent us a couple of different tobaccos. He actually made us two tobaccos. He made
what?
One. He made one for me. This is a mixture, it's 70% Orlick Golden Slice that's been aged with McClellan's Stoved Virginia. And so just delicious. I can't wait to try it. Have not had it yet, but those two tobaccos, of course, are excellent. This one he calls Bo's Barbecue.
What? Oh!
And he said, I developed this blend for you to invoke my experience with barbecue growing up. I know how much you love barbecue. Though I live in Houston now, I grew up in southern Michigan. We don't really have slow smoke things up here. Up north like everyone does in the south. When things started warming up in May and June, we would grill out. One of my favorite things to do was make barbecue sauce by marinating fresh summer fruit like apricots or blueberries in a mixture of vinegar and honey. We would then use the sauce and glaze chicken and ribs on the grill. Bo's Barbecue is a Virginia Ford tobacco with notes of caramelized apricots and blueberries and just a hint of smokiness. Tangy and sweet, sip on this and it will treat you right. And so that is from our dear friend Eric. And then he also made us, actually, this kind of to go along with the barbecue note, he actually made us two seasoning rubs that we can actually use on burgers or steaks or anything like that.
Dude, they are sending us
this
seasoning for barbecue, and they've already like custom made the tobaccos to smoke with the barbecue.
You're just reaching at straws here.
No, I mean, we're holding us. This is not straws. This is becoming a thing.
I mean, it at some point, you know, you just got to say like, what, you know, I don't know what to think. I mean, I don't. I mean, I have people lost their minds? Like, I mean,
this is what we're gonna do.
You're gonna pair pipe tobacco with barbecue? At some point,
this has gone beyond this. This is not pairing pipe tobacco. This is literally creating pipe tobacco based off of to be paired with barbecue and the rub to use on said barbecue.
On the barbecue,
yeah.
Maybe y'all are wearing me down. I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Like, what we're gonna have to do? Like, I just
at some point I'm like, I've got to preserve some kind of dignity. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, one day when I have kids and they're old enough to understand what I'm doing here on Country Squire Radio, they'll be like, you know, oh well, what did you do, Dad? Well, you know, I use this as an excuse to drink, eat barbecue, and smoke a pipe.
I'm putting the call out. I'm doing this now. Inspired by Eric. And the amazing contribution of this amazing Bo's Barbecue.
Eric, this is awesome. Some
excellent, excellent rub. If you, dear Country Squire radio listener, want to see a pipe tobacco and barbecue pairing, here is what you must do. We will all do this together. On an upcoming day, which I'm about to state, we will all get behind our barbecues. We will all barbecue, grill, cook our favorite meats, and we will enjoy a pipe while we're doing it. Here's what I want you to do. Go to Twitter on this day, July 4th, and show what you are grilling. And that you are smoking your pipe tobacco. The sole purpose, we will declare our independence from John David's way of thinking. We will call this our independence.
My shallow, narrow way of thinking.
No longer will July 4th be just an American holiday, but it'll be our Independence Day.
You're quoting that movie.
I am. You don't know movies.
No, but I know that one.
What's it called? The 4th of July? Something like that?
Independence Day.
Yeah. I know. Oh, man. This is awesome. This is amazing, Eric. And Eric has also found a cheat code of getting your iTunes review read early by literally mailing it in.
I know, right?
Otherwise,
he mailed it in.
His was coming up in 2 weeks, but that's great.
Anyway, Rip, really kind, Eric. We're so thankful for you, brother. And man, these are great gifts. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. And man, I'm glad you're holding the flame up high down there in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, man. So, yep, that's good. Well, hey, you know, we want to give a shout out to all of y'all that are writing in and sending in your tweets and sending in that feedback. It's always good to get that from you. If you'd like to send in some feedback, we'd love to have it from you. Head over to iTunes, write a review, then copy paste it, send it in, mail it in directly to the Squire. You too could, right. Could get ahead of the list on getting that one out there. But yeah, we love getting those iTunes reviews in. It's a great way to help out the show. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it, but if you are willing to spend a few dimes to do it, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, become a patron, become a club member, and you can be part of making this action happen every single week without fail. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can also tune into the show live on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central. That's 6:30 Pacific and 9:30 Eastern. Man, also, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, and I'll likely do it next week, but we've mentioned before that a couple of us Squire fans and listeners and this particular host get together from time to time on this game called Sea of Thieves, good pirate game.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
The Squire Scallywags, man, it's going good. But we one of our members is gone out for a couple of weeks during the summer, and so we need another crew member. So if you happen to be playing Sea of Thieves and you want to join the Scallywags, hit me up on Twitter, let me know. And if you're not on Twitter, email show@countrysquireradio.com. I know a couple of y'all mentioned it. It's just Twitter's been the main way that we've been kind of coordinating our crew, but I'm open to getting creative there. Just let me know. show@countrysquireradio.com. Just put Scallywags in the title and we'll add you to the crew. And you could join Captain Jorvik and the crew of the White Rose.
Arr.
It's a fun time. Well, man, look.
I had a fun night. Of course, what's not to love about Squire Select? You know, we just sit here and drink on interesting drinks and look at just ridiculous memes that are tweeted into us and, you know, smoking some great tobacco. And it's been a good night, man.
Man, it has been a good night. Good night for you. Good night for me. Good night for Brian in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's right.
Tuning in for the first time and mentioned now four times.
That's right. That's right. Well, welcome.
And it's all because you're Beard Corps' roommate. This is what you get. This is like a perk for being Beard Corps' roommate.
Dude, I know, right?
No, it
should have been Beard Corps' roommate.
He should have put it in the flyer. From now on, Beard Corps, if you charge
extra rent for that,
if Brian sucks, if he's terrible and you need to get a new one, just put it in the flyer. You will get a name drop on Country Squire Radio Live. I guarantee it.
People be like, what's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they'll know. They'll have heard of the horse and the glue. All right. Wait, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Thank you.